This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that as time progresses, as we as individuals and the Muslim Ummah itself as a group of people, as we progress in life, it seems as if the challenges of life only increase. They do not decrease. There was a time when I was growing up where if my grandfather said to my father, "Do what I have done in my life," meaning the content, the exact things, "Do as I have done in my life and you will be successful." If my grandfather said that to my father, that statement would be correct. But then came a time in my own life, I started experiencing the generation gap, and I'm sure my parents experienced that as well. Now, what is the generation gap? Generation gap is not understanding, modern day slang of the time. The generation gap is simply a lack of or the loss of ability to continue to make sense in a world that is very different from the world that I lived in or grew up in. The reason for that is because most people remain, when in terms of their experience, they remain grounded. I'm trying to avoid the word stuck. In the content of what they said or did or heard or felt. The content of what they said or did. And they are unable to translate that into conceptual learnings which become content independent. And because they become content independent, they also become space and time independent. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this amazing ability to do this, and he was highly successful in being able to do that. And that is the reason why, if we look at the nuts and bolts, the material content of his world, and compare that to our nuts and bolts and material content of our world, you are not just looking at two different times, you are looking practically at two different planets, completely two different worlds. Except for the fact that he was human and his people around him were human and we are also human, there is almost no commonality between them and us, between their time and our time. Now, you might be surprised to hear this from me, because I am the one who pushes the line to say that there is an uncanny resemblance between the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our time. And I'll tell you why both these statements, which are apparently paradoxical, are true. There is a world of difference in terms of the content of what was happening there, and there is an uncanny resemblance when we take that content and we convert that into principles of, into conceptual principles of what was happening. Conceptually, what was happening, the same things are happening today here. Whereas the actual content would be very different. Take for example, interest-based banking. Conceptually, It is exactly the same thing that we are doing today. Content wise, obviously they didn't have computers, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have wire transfers for banks, but did they have the equivalent of a power of attorney? Yes. Did they have the equivalent of a LC? Yes. Did they have an equivalent of deferred payment? Yes. Did they have the equivalent of a promissory note? Yes. Now, did they have the equivalent of venture capital financing? Yes. But exactly how it was done in terms of nuts and bolts differs. Now, this is important, and I want to pause on that, because conceptual understanding and conceptual thinking solves problems. When our concepts are clear, then we can transfer those concepts, and those concepts will continue to make sense across the ages, across geographies, and they will continue to make sense to people who may have nothing in common with you racially or religion wise or any other way, except that they are also human and they are also living in a world where they are facing such situations. But if you cannot conceptualize your life experience, then it's an enigma. It doesn't really make sense to anybody. You may have led an interesting life. It might be an interesting story for someone to read when they have some free time. But other than that, it's not something that will make sense to them, or it's not something that they can make use of in their own lives. And that's why this conceptualizing is a very, very important thing. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this conceptualizing, and he talks about the basic fundamental principle of society, which underlies everything else in society in terms of its conceptual importance, and that is the importance of justice. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada'a lillahi walau ala anfusikum awil walidaini wal aqrabina in yakun ghaniyan aw faqira fallahu awla bihima فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُغْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, even though that may be against yourself, or your parents, or your kin, meaning your relatives, be he or she rich or poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a better protector of both than you. So do not follow the lust of your heart, lest you may avoid justice. And if you distort your witness or refuse to give it, verily, Allah is ever well acquainted with what you do. Now, here is a beautiful example of the concept underlying all goodness, and that concept is justice. Now, content-wise, where does it apply? The way in which it is applied, content-wise, may differ from culture to culture, from time to time, from history to history, from geography to geography. Justice as it is applied in a marketplace will be different from justice as it is applied in an organization, will be different from justice as it is applied in a marital relationship, will be different from justice as it is applied in a parent-child relationship, will be different from justice as it is applied if you are a ruler of a country.
But what do you as a ruler of a country have to do? Apply justice. Deal justly with people. The principle of justice remains the same. The way it is applied will change according to the time and place and according to the context. So when you take something and convert it into a conceptual principle, then it becomes content and context independent, and it is applicable across contexts and across various other differences in many ways. So here is this principle of justice where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He's addressing specifically the Muslims, and Allah is saying, stand firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah. Now think about this. What is this? In my view, the one single reason why people behave unjustly is because they believe they can get away with it. Right? There is almost nobody who will, while driving down the road, there is almost nobody, I can say there is nobody, who will jump a red light if he sees a police car parked at the intersection. Many times policemen do this, they park the car, they leave the flashers on, and they have gone somewhere. It's only when you come right up to the car and you have stopped, or you are past the car, then you realize that there was nobody in that car. But you follow the rule because the police car is there. Why is it that in places like Dubai, for example, people follow the laws very, very carefully? Because Dubai probably has the largest number of cameras on the roads. So it is almost certain that if you break the law while driving, it's almost certain that you will be caught. Right? Because some camera would have captured what you did, and then you, depending on what you did, you will either get a very expensive photograph, that you need to pay for in your mail, or you might get a knock on the door. So people follow the law. So the single reason why most people, there are people who follow the law because their hearts are good, alhamdulillah. But for the vast majority of people, they follow the law because they are afraid of getting caught. If there was a possibility for them to do injustice without getting caught, then they would have done it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out to this and saying that you might escape a traffic camera in some place, you might escape a policeman somewhere, but you cannot escape the one whose shan and whose khudrat and whose power and his glory and majesty is that he is alimum bi zati sudur. He knows what is in your heart. Huwa sami'ul basir. He hears and he sees real time 24/7. Right? So Allah is saying, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, because Allah is witness to what you are doing. And there is no time and no place and no circumstance and no situation in which you could have been doing something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't see, or Allah it escaped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attention. That doesn't question does not arise, because there is no such time and place. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing to another reason why we are unjust. First reason we are unjust is because we think we can get away with it. So Allah is saying, you cannot get away with it because I am watching. Second reason why we are unjust is because the unjust action was done by me, and I don't want to be caught with that. Right? So I am the one who did it, and I don't want to face that. I don't want to be caught with that. So I will pretend that I did not do that, or I will try to escape. Or that action was done by somebody who is close to me, dear to me, my father, my mother, maybe my wife or husband, maybe my children, maybe close friends of mine, people who I love very much, and they did something wrong and I don't want to say that to them. Let me ask you, especially the South Asians, the Indians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, to some extent the Arabs. In my country, in India, a large chunk of Bollywood film industry is based on mother-in-law, daughter-in-law conflict, which is either of them, one of them being unjust to the other. And the man is caught in the middle of this between his wife and his mother. So either he sides with his mother against his wife, and he may be therefore being unjust to the wife, or he may be siding with the wife against the mother, in which case he is being unjust to the mother, or he is being pulled apart by the two of them. Why is that happening? Because this one is dear to me, that one is dear to me. So the principles of justice I am sacrificing because of somebody who is dear to me. I am just now in America, and we heard this, it's absolutely fantastic, incident that I heard of. In one of the states, I'm not going to name the state and so on. In one of the states, the governor of the state in this social distancing and lockdown situation, the governor of the state made this announcement, and he told people stay away from all places of gathering, shutting down of all bars and all restaurants and so on, except for food takeaway. And all of this, and then he gave directions to the police to say, now go and patrol, and anybody you catch, no exceptions, they must face the music, they will be punished, they will be fined, as the case might be. Guess who the police caught? The wife of the governor in a bar. She was hanging out with some friends of hers. So what do you think happened? What do you think will happen in your country? The governor of the state, which is equivalent in India, that would be equivalent to the chief minister of the state. Now you might say, well, my state, my chief minister is not married. Or you might say, my chief minister's wife doesn't go to the bar. Forget about that. Forget the bar. If your chief minister's wife is found in a place where there is some kind of a gathering, what do you think will happen to her? In my country, I know the chief minister's wife will have her own personal police security, and she will be in that gathering with her own security guards. Is this justice? Or is justice what happened here, which is they reported to the governor, they said your wife was found in this bar. He said, what is your instruction? They said, our instruction is no exceptions. He said, exactly. You have your instructions, no exceptions. Apply the law. Whatever the law is, apply the law. If she is to be arrested and remanded to judicial custody, and if she is to be fined, go ahead. The fact that she is my wife makes no difference. This is the meaning of justice, even to stand for justice, even if it is against those who are closest to you. Now, who is closest of the closest? Yourself. What does it mean? It means admit that you were wrong. It doesn't matter how long you were wrong. It doesn't matter how much of egg on the face you will get. But believe me, my own experience in life, if you are wrong, and if you immediately, without justifying it, without trying to escape and so on, the moment it is pointed out to you that you were wrong, if you immediately accept that, not only is there no egg on the face, but you will be respected for that. Not only will it not embarrass you, not only is it not something which is negative, it is something which is hugely positive. People will appreciate the fact that you were just in this particular case. Whereas, instead of admitting that you were at fault, if you keep on justifying it, if you keep on trying to make excuses and so on and so forth, you lose respect in the eyes of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a method whereby not only will we stand for justice, and therefore alhamdulillah, inshallah, when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will not be a source of embarrassment for us, but we will actually gain gain credibility and people will respect us more because they say that this person admits when he is at fault. So it's very, very important for us to keep this in mind. So Allah is saying, stand firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it's against yourself and against your parents, against your relatives, siblings, children, close relatives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now touches another very important thing, which is different strokes for different folks. And what is the general rule applied? Different rules for the rich, for rich people, and different rules for poor people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no. Justice means the same law applies across the board to everybody, rich or poor. And Allah says, Allah is a better protector for both than you, meaning that don't worry about the fact that if you call out somebody who is wealthy, that there may be a blowback on you. Allah says, no, don't worry about all that. Allah is your protector. Rich or poor, yeah? Stand out for justice even if it's against yourself. Stand out for justice even if it's against the people who are closest to you. So one reason we are unjust is because the person is from my is close to me, like relative and so on and so forth. Or another reason we stand up or we are afraid to stand up for justice is because somebody is wealthy and powerful. All three reasons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered here. And Allah said, you stand for justice, and he said, make Allah your witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness because there is no one who is stronger than Allah, there is no one who is more powerful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. We belong to Allah, and to him is our return. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not follow the lust of your heart. Meaning that there may be some other reason why you are being unjust. Because you like something, because you want something to happen, because you are hankering after power and authority. So, you think that if I succumb to some pressure here, then I will be elected as president, or I will be elected as, you know, head of this organization or that organization. Or you might feel that now I have been elected as the head of this organization. So, then I must necessarily succumb to things and make compromises in order to retain my seat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, don't do that. Don't do any of that. Lest you may avoid justice, meaning lest you might become unjust. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly that if you distort your witness or you refuse to give it, meaning that if somebody comes to you in the case involving justice and you do not support that person, even though you know what is right, you were a witness, but you refuse to give witness, you refuse to bear witness, you say, no, don't put my name on it. Why not? Because you were there, you are the witness. No, I don't want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, remember, that Allah is well aware of what you used to do. You probably think you can escape the people, and maybe you can, but you cannot escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah knows what you did. Allah was witness to it. You did it while he was watching and see and listening. And now you say, no, I don't want to talk about that. No problem. If you don't want to talk about it, remember you did it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was witness. So now the safety for you lies in speaking the truth and standing for justice, no matter who else is involved. Brothers and sisters, I want you to really seriously think about this. Because this is something which is so critically important. That if we lose track of this, then the whole edifice of society falls down. Society must be based and can be based on this one single principle, which is the principle of justice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put this into our hearts and to make us people who are just and fair and who avoid all forms of injustice, no matter what, and who fear only and only the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. May Allah purify our hearts and may Allah fill them with His khashyat, and nothing else.